Radio presents House of Rugby, United Rugby Championship, together with Bank of Ireland, proud supporter of the four Irish provinces.
Welcome to House of Rugby URC, together with Bank of Ireland, proud supporter of the four Irish provinces.
For today's show, we'll be talking about all the weekend's matches from the URC, including Try of the Weekend, and also Jason's very own Jukebox Award, and taking to social media with what you guys have to say about the matches. And we also, if that's not enough for you, we have a very special guest with us, Darren Cave.
I feel like the show should probably start with an apology after I listened last week and you guys said that you promised the biggest names in rugby and you delivered first of all Ian Keatley and then secondly me. So you're going to have some very disappointed listeners. So sorry for anyone who's tuned in.
And he also has brought another friend with him. I think it's the moustache.
Yeah, there's been a lot of comments already about that.
I like it.
I've chosen to take them as compliments. Yeah. So
I can't grow on. I mean, look at me trying to shape this off. It wouldn't work. Yeah. I like it.
It was a lockdown idea. It was supposed to be around for a couple of months, as lockdown was. And a year and a half later, it's still there. I think actually, the more like aggro it gets, the more I enjoy it. So the more people are, you know, tease, the more I think, I don't care what you think about me. And, you know, I don't need your approval to have this. So,
anyway. Yeah. Look, enough about the mustache.
I thought that was why I was here.
No, we're going to the URC. We're going to the URC action. Well, look, before we go into the URC action, well, obviously, last week we discussed it. The Irish women, obviously, you know, failing to qualify for the Rugby World Cup. Yes. And as you mentioned, like we thought there might be a retirement or two. There was one big retirement.
Yeah, Kelleher Molloy, she's been a big part of the squad over the last number of years, you know, winning 74 caps for Ireland. It's such a shame for her to finish out that way last week. But she went to Twitter and she put out a tweet saying 74 over and out, I'm ready for the next chapter. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what's to come for Claire. She has a really high profile job being a doctor in the UK, so wishing her the best of luck going forward.
Excellent. Yeah. And something I wanted to talk about, I was talking to you off air, obviously both of you have got young children, so you didn't get a chance to tune into New Zealand versus South Africa at 10 o'clock in the morning. Me, of course, obviously was watching it pretty religiously.
Yeah, Jason has been talking about it all morning. He's been dying to tell us about
the match. It is one of the best test matches I've ever seen.
You've built it up. I haven't seen it. So
I'm going to give you a little
snippet.
Please
do not under-deliver.
I'll give you a little snippet here. I've got all like little kind of into little points here, right? So basically, in the end, the box won 31-29, right? Which is good because we all like seeing the All Blacks lose, of course. Well, I do anyway. So basically, at 6 minutes gone, it's 25-20 to the box, right? Francois Steyn gives away a penalty that should not have been a penalty. He was charging down a kick from Jordy Barrett. I mean, Francois carrying a bit of timber in his older years. I don't think it was a penalty. He literally catches the top of his toe. But as you know, where the ball lands, he gets the penalty. So Jordy Barrett, of course, knocks the penalty over. It's 25-23. Then 73 minutes, another penalty to the All Blacks, knocks it over. Now it's 26-25 to the All Blacks.
It's getting exciting now.
It's getting exciting now, right?
Then on
three minutes later, then Yankees knocks over a drop goal to make it 28-26.
So a drop goal.
Yeah, so the box are back in front again, right? Then straight off kickoff, 10 seconds later, box infringe, another penalty, the All Blacks take the lead again, right? We think that's it. They're after throwing it away like they did the previous week. Up steps Mr. Dwayne Vermeulen, who you'll get to know all about when he signs for
Ulster. Ulster legend.
Yeah, he's soon to be Ulster legend. He pops up with the most ridiculous turnover I've ever seen, right? It's 55, 56 metres out. We're all thinking, Steyn's going to go for it. Is he? No, he doesn't go for it. They kick to the corner. They maul. Push in again and they get in centre field. All Blacks infringe, offside. Penalty in front of the post, box win, game over.
I was wondering how many times he was going to go, and then down the other end, and then down the other
I've
end.
I've heard this all morning, so I already, like, I should have said it myself. I know it off by heart now.
Just go back and watch it. If you're watching it live, it was just, and like, I was there, obviously cheering on the box. I want to see the box win, and after seeing him, it looked like it was going to be a repeat of last week, but fortunately enough, it wasn't.
I was ready to go at 8 o'clock. We ones obviously were up since about 6:30, probably. And flicked on the telly and thought, brilliant, we might see the Springboks. we might see the All Blacks and then have that disappointment when, like, you know,
Australia, Argentina.
Yeah, you know, we don't discriminate on the show, but let's be honest, if there's a game in the Rugby Championship you don't want to watch,
yeah,
no offense to the Aussies who've been going well.
Yeah,
and the RGs. Four wins on the bounce now, is it? Or three wins? Four wins on the bounce now for the first time since, like, I don't know, forever.
So anyway, yeah, I watched Cocomelon instead of the All Black Springboks game, which is, I'm not sure it actually was as exciting, but I would love to have seen you narrate the episode of Cocomelon or Peppa Pig like you did, just like that. So
I don't
maybe that's a future feature.
Yeah,
no, I'm going to stick to the rugby for now. Other news, Rhino Peter, I don't know how to pronounce this, is it Rhino Peterson? The cast lock, we saw that tackle a few weeks ago. He's after getting, it was originally 24 weeks halved due to his previous record in the Mission of Guilt. So he's after getting a 12 week ban for his Superman tackle, as I'm starting to call it.
Lusu. Oh! Goodness me. He's going to be sent off, and the Bordeaux players furious.
I thought you were going to say he got 7 months in jail.
Yeah.
It was that bad. You know, it really
one
was.
One of those things, ridiculous. Like, heat in the moment and, like,
late, no arms,
yeah,
the whole lot. Like,
they love a reduction, thinking? Don't they?
Yeah.
They,
yeah,
love it. Like, you know, they give him a year and a half, but
yeah,
he brushed his teeth before he came, so he got 3 weeks.
No, yeah, he got 12 weeks, he didn't. Like, yeah, like, you know, that's, I mean,
he took the gill and...
It's still 3 months out. He won't do it again, put it that way.
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
We had Ian Keatley with us on the podcast last week, and we're joined by Darren. And I suppose it's not really the best question to kind of ask. So being in that bubble for such a long time in the rugby world, like, what do you want to do after rugby? Like, what are you guys doing now at the moment? Are you selling commercial insurance? Did I hear? No, I'm looking for a good
nearly,
deal.
Nearly. Well, it's been a different 2 years for everybody,
yeah,
not just Aaron Cave, as I was saying. But yeah, I've been busy. I don't really miss rugby at all for some reason. People keep saying to me, it'll hit you one day. And they say, oh, you miss the lads, you miss the changing room. And I don't know, maybe I didn't like the lads. Maybe the lads didn't like me. My first daughter was born the month after I retired. And that was just the best way ever to forget about rugby.
Yeah.
And yeah, like, I own a few coffee shops, opened a hot dog place recently.
Oh, bad.
I actually do work for a foreign exchange company based in London. I try and play golf and I try and watch rugby, but there's always a negotiation process that happens at home. So I'm keeping busy. Thank you for asking.
Yeah.
Very nice of you.
Well, look, we obviously want to hear about your thoughts from the URC over the weekend, but we've got a fun little game for you.
Okay.
We're going to play 10 questions with Darren Cave. That's you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I hope I get the answers right. But
yeah. You ready? So I'm going to kick off the first one.
Yeah.
Okay. Best advice anyone has ever given you in the game.
Okay. There was a defence coach at Ulster, and when I was very young and just come through, his name's Peter Sharp, in a rugby league background. I remember there was one passage of play I lay down injured for like a minute or a minute and a half, and we were defending, and then when the physio came on, I just got up and played on. And I remember he said to me after the game, he said, if you ever lie down like that when you're not hurt, like, yeah, he's like, if you are hurt, that's fine to stay down and go off the pitch, but if you're ever going to lie down for a minute and then get back in the defensive line and help your team, then I'll make sure you don't play for Ulster ever again.
Were you just having a rest?
Do you know what? I think I had picking up a bang, but the point was, like, you know,
yeah,
get in the defensive line. So, and I think that was a pretty solid piece of advice, and I would say that to people now, like, if you are legitimately hurt, that's fine, but
be honest. Yeah,
yeah, like, if if you're not, like, if you can stand in the defensive line, then stand there.
It's a fair point.
Obviously I was hard as nails. If you listen to like my version of the career, if you ever watch me, you may have a different opinion, which is it's also
that's great advice. So who would be the greatest player you've ever played with?
I was very fortunate in my career, that, not that I was in any way good myself, but I was able to, you both nodded as I said that. Supposed to say it, like, Darren, you're so humble. Honestly, there's all the obvious answers. Like, I was lucky enough to play with Brandon Driscoll, Johnny Sexton, Paul O'Connell, Rory Best, Ruan Pienaar.
Who sticks that in your head straight away?
I'm not going to give O'Driscoll as that, because that's such a boring answer.
Yeah, I mean,
There's probably a couple of curveball answers would probably be like John Afoa. He was a tight end prop, so it's not like a totally glamorous
still
position.
Still playing, but somehow.
Yeah, he was unbelievable. And I remember he arrived in Ireland, and no offence to Mike Ross and John Hayes, but at that stage, the Irish tight head, this was before Tadhg Furlong. It was like Irish, does he have a pulse? Yes. Is he 21 stone? Yes. Put a three on his back.
Put him in.
And chuck him in. And he arrives, and he was unbelievable. And I'd probably... give a mention to Jarrad Payne in that he was one of the best, but I think he's a guy who was better than people thought.
Underrated, yeah. Massively so like, underrated.
He was class.
What about the toughest player you've ever played with?
Ooh, with?
Yeah, like is it on or off? Like this is some, as you were saying there early on about guys getting up, who's some guy that like if his arm or leg or ear was hanging off, he was in that defensive line?
I mean... he loves a pat on the back and he's got enough of them, but I mean, Rory Best cleaned out a ruck against the All Blacks with a broken arm. That's pretty hard, do you know what I mean?
Jeez, that's tough. That's
impressive.
Yeah.
Chris Henry was tough, but he was like one of those, like, he just used to get beaten up. And do you know what I mean? He was the kind of guy who, like, he'd manage to get his shirt dirty in the changing room before he went out, do you know? but there's a few guys, like, obviously, Paul O'Connell. I would, if I was allowed to include myself, I wouldn't be in that group, but
I think you're going to include yourself in the next question as well. Actually, okay.
Before we go on, what about against? I know that's tougher. Like, what about against? Or someone there you could say that would be tough to play against?
I mean, again, there's so many in whatever year was career. But I remember one time there was a loose ball. We were playing Claremont and a loose ball, and I like tried to hack the ball and. Obviously, he wasn't a great soccer finisher because I missed the ball and I caught Julien Bonnaire on the head. And I had this moment of like, fear. I have just absolutely like put the laces through somebody's head. And I was actually, it was in the middle of, it was at the Kingspan, 15,000 people, Champions Cup game. And I was like super apologetic. I've just kicked this guy in the head. Like, do you know what I mean? And he
looked, mad?
No, he was like...
yeah, I'm good, man.
So French. Like, he was like, honestly, I remember like going, oh my goodness. Like, so I'm going to give him for that little incident. Not sure if he remembers it. Probably not.
Doesn't sound like it after that knock.
Probably not, yeah.
No.
Right, when you started up your Instagram account, who did you first post a picture of yourself with? Do you remember?
There's a. I think there's actually a backstory with this. I got my Instagram hacked. And it got taken over.
That's what
and I had to start it again. Yeah. I woke up one. So everybody put on your two-factor authentication.
Okay.
That's for all you kids listening at home. I woke up one morning and somebody had hacked like my login details weren't working. And I have no idea what happened.
And so you have no idea why you put a picture of you with Bradley from Club 7.
You just that was the punchline. No, I'm joking. So yeah, I had to start my Instagram again. I lost my blue tick. Not only when I retired, you know, and then actually I went back to request it and it got turned down.
Okay,
new Instagram. I'm going to put up a picture. Like, I had every picture, and I just randomly put up a picture of a selfie of me and Bradley from Club 7. That was the one that I was like.
How old were you?
About 30, because it was in a nightclub.
I swear from the same
time. He and the blonde haired one from Club 7 were doing a gig.
Brilliant.
About 5 years ago. Unbelievably. So there you go. It was Bradley from Club 7. I knew that.
There you go. We'll get away from this kind of stuff so we get to something a bit more serious, right? Are you ready for this now?
Yeah, yeah.
So in 2013, you questioned if your face didn't fit the Ireland squad, right? Now, do you know how Joe Smith reacted to that? Did you ever speak to him after it?
Do you know that I get asked about that literally in everything I ever do?
Yeah, and we're not any different.
So, do you know, it was... I think there's a real stalemate between like media and players. It's like media don't trust, players don't trust media, so they get boring content, but media are listening to this drivel every week and they have to produce something that people are going to watch, listen to. It's really, and I have empathy for both sides and I'm not one or the other, even though technically I'm media now. And for once, you know, I just decided to sort of speak my mind a wee bit. And I've referred to it before, we were on tour in New Zealand in I think 2012, it was a three-test tour. And in the second, I was on the bench in the first test. left out second test, and I think Darce broke his arm, probably seemed to break his arm every couple of years, but whatever it was, and Gordon Darcy flew home, and Paddy Wallace was on holiday in Portugal, and Paddy, like, is one of my best friends from rugby, but they flew him from Portugal on the Sunday back to the UK, flew him from Belfast. Actually, don't even know if he went back to Belfast. I think they flew him from Portugal to New Zealand, and then we were in Queenstown. So he arrived on like the Tuesday, yeah. And Decky picked him the start at 12 on the weekend. And I've met Declan Kinney since I've retired and had a laugh with him and we've had a laugh about that incident. But I remember just thinking, like, why am I here? What was the point in me being on tour? But I do regret actually speaking honestly, because it just got like, you know, it got, Joe wasn't even the coach then. That was, you know, but it got directed at Joe and but it was really, I had a really good relationship with Joe. And actually what happened was I got wind of the article that as soon as it went live, and I didn't really like what they'd done. So to be clear,
they kind of always blow things out of proportion.
As you said, they're twisting
things.
They're trying to make
just to get a good headline.
It wasn't, and then it kind of kept going, but it wasn't. And I phoned Joe and said, Joe, look, to be clear, this is not a misquote, okay? I've said this, and this is why I felt like that. What I don't like about the article is that it's kind of been misinterpreted as...
What we wanted to ask you. We wanted to clear it up, like, you know what I mean?
As, like, this issue with Joe Schmidt and blah, blah, blah. And do you know what? Joe gets a hard time, but he couldn't have been sounder. But he said, Darren, I understand in relation to that incident. And he said, the reason probably you haven't played more over the past few years for Ireland, in my opinion, is because Dricko has been so good and so durable. And we got on with it. And Joe and I had a great relationship with Joe. But people love the kind of idea that I didn't.
And the drama.
But I mean, looking back now as an old lad, I would probably advise a young player not to bother. Just go into the press conference and say, yeah, look, they're going to be physical. We will work really hard. You know, they're really energetic. Just go and say that and get on with your life, because it wasn't worth the hassle.
Yeah, I get you.
It's probably quite hard to bring your personality into those kind of interviews, isn't it? Like, you have to go by the script a little bit.
Definitely. Yeah. And I think it's, as I said at the start of that sort of section, that's why I think I do have empathy for the media, because at the end of my career, I was going into press conferences and just going, like, these people, I've seen these people here for the last 13 years. How bored do you think they are of going, like, Cave wants to be centre of attention? And it's like, it's painful.
It's frustrating
for
because you're so media trained, but at the same time, you've just explained there why you got to be so media trained. It's not just for the RFU, it's for you as well and your career.
And ultimately, that was a distraction, and it was a very uncomfortable 48 hours. Even after I'd spoken to Joe, when I knew it was okay, it still was uncomfortable. And I, as I said, I would advise if a young player said to me, no, I'd just say, lad, don't bother. Not bother. Going on podcasts. Don't put your head above the parapet. Just get on with it.
So when you're retired, you can say what you want then, like, basically.
Something like that, yeah.
when you're in the bubble, you just gotta stick to the script, essentially.
Pretty much, yeah. Because everything can be turned against you. And, like, you notice it in games, you know, when it's clearly a mismatch in terms of, like, maybe Leinster are at home to Per Zebra. And the players will be like, you know, they've changed coach, and they'll just make up all this nonsense. And really, you're just dying for them to say, look, if we play well, we'll win.
Because
it's the truth. And we're trying to score a bonus point.
Megan, do you want to go into next
question? Now you're outside of that bubble of rugby, and, like, you have a lot of interests as well. You know, you have your coffee shop. You've got a bit of an interest in psychology. What are those? Is there something that, you know, the fans might don't know about you? Have you got any hidden hobbies or talents that you'd like to share now? This is your moment.
Except that you can't use the mustache in this part. Like, we know that's a talent.
What is... I don't think anything that's overly hidden. If it was up to me, I would play golf, drink coffee, drink beers.
Must have a phobia or something like that.
Phobia.
I'm terrified of pretty much everything, like, so I can't really
I don't really know. One thing I like about retirement is, like, and I don't know, do you not find that, like, life is just a little less up and down? I kind of like that. You know, apart from rugby's a roller coaster.
Yeah.
Just, like, you know, when, like, so you play on Friday night and there's a bonus point win and you score the try and it's, you know, ecstasy and then like you're dropped and then you're injured and then you get dropped and you deal with that and then your dad phones and asks why you're not playing and then you have an argument with him about why the other player, what the coach has told you about the other player. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's totally. So up and down.
Yeah.
And I just like now like sort of a little more.
A bit more mellow, like yeah. You're not so uptight all the time. A little bit with kind of what's going on and being, I don't know, all your research preparing for matches.
Chilled out.
Yeah, and out.
It is, you do, like you miss the highs, but I don't miss that like roller coaster of emotion, I suppose. And I've spoken about this before. When I retired, I was like so fudged off with selection, like frightening. And when I speak about it before, I've said this before, I never like would argue now that what I believed was correct. Okay. I'm not saying I was the best player, for that shirt or that position, but I genuinely believed at the time that I was.
You've got to believe that. You've got to believe that.
Therefore, I found it soul destroying. Like the last couple of years of my career, dealing with just sheer frustration of never really even sitting down with the coach, and I just couldn't.
Except what they were saying.
And I never got a reason. I thought, you know, that's actually fair enough. I cannot do that on the rugby pitch.
Yeah,
like it wasn't like. I watch the All Blacks and I look at Rico Ioane and I'm like, how did I play the same position as this guy in international rugby? Because he's swatting people off. And
speaking of ups and downs, like, I mean, forget about the downs. We don't want to drag up that pass, but ups. So we had a few questions over on Twitter and someone pointed out Peter Lowry. He basically wanted to know what you thought your best performance was in an Ulster jersey. For him, it was, I hate saying this now, Munster, my team, of course, in Tullamore Park in 2009, he reckons was your best game.
In 2009, I actually do remember that game. I don't really know. I can say that one of my last games is one of the games I look fondest back. And unfortunately for me, I didn't win any trophies in my career at Ulster. So I remember the losses quite well. The Aviva quarterfinal against Leinster when we just narrowly lost. That was a game... So the week before, I had strained the intercostal. I nearly said intercontinental. intercostal muscles. And it was one of the sorest things I've ever, like, of all my injuries, broken bones and stuff like that. So it was like when you breathe, like you couldn't move your... And I remember Dan McFarlane said to me on the Monday, he was like, will you be allowed to play? And I was like, yeah, because it was Leinster. It was the Champions Cup. And I was in my head, I was thinking I'm retiring. And I had to get anaesthetic. Injections. So I got two anaesthetics.
Just to numb it, like?
Yeah, so the ribs were fine. It was the muscles between. And they were like, look, these, you don't need these muscles to play, but it's basically if you can cope with the pain. So I got anaesthetic, injected either side of the ribs. I remember it perfectly. I was sitting in the Herbert Park Hotel and the doctor's like, and I'm going like, and then the physio had actually been at the Olympics with Team GB and he goes, oh, I'll do this strapping. And I'm like, he goes, it's an old tennis strapping from like a tennis injury. And I'm like, well, that'll be great when we're running out at the Aviva against Flippin. So that day, and Leinster were miles better at this and I just threw everything into it. And it was just a memorable day, played quite well. And that was probably when I knew, I was like, do you know what? That's the last memory that the people of Ireland, like I played a couple of games after, but that's the last memory of that these 60,000 people and X, you know, 100,000 people on TV have of me. And sort of, so that was kind of like a, even though we lost, like something I was like,
yeah,
it's really proud
that's
of that
something
one.
Gonna go.
Yeah. And to talk about the, like I remember going into that game, how much I was worried about the injury. And it was like,
physically, you probably felt really kind of, you know, out of sorts. But mentally, you knew that you were going to get yourself through the game because you had that in the back of your mind, maybe retiring. So you just wanted to put everything out there.
And it's funny how, like, you talk about, like, player analysis and, like, so much goes into all this. But, like, not 1% of me was thinking about, like, Guy Ringrose or, like, I think Robbie Henshaw was just back and these phenomenal players. I was just going, like, what happens if I... just after 30 seconds of the game, cannot play. And I have to put my hand up and be like, guys, I'm leaving the pitch. I'm letting you down. This could be one of my last things. So, like, I was sick to the stomach all week. And so now I look back on that occasion with a lot of relief. But again, to mention the highs and lows, I just go, you know, I remember.
Like, you've jumped in and taken my last question. So Megan was supposed to have a question, but mine was, I was going to ask you your proudest moment. So like, that is your proudest moment, I suppose, essentially, is it, when you think about it?
Potentially, yeah, because I was sick to the stomach all week. And I just look back and I'm like, I'm so thankful that it held up to a certain level. And okay, we didn't win. And yeah, like, you know, Ulster celebrating, get losing to Leinster, all that. That or... our Champions Cup, our European Cup run in 2012 is very, I think, the Europe, one of your favourite games, probably the quarterfinal. we beat Munster in Thomond Park. And I think it only had happened once in Europe, but there is something so, the Irish derbies are so they're special.
Incredible.
You know, you could write off the whole season and beat those three teams, and that would be done. And there's nothing more satisfying. And equally, there's no three teams that I respect more than outside of Ulster. There's no three teams that I said, well, do you know what? If I wasn't an Ulsterman, I love the way Munster are. I have so much respect and admiration for them, and they're lovely guys.
But you still want to beat them.
Yeah,
you could be nice, but you're like,
it's the same with the fans. Like they're such. The provinces are so well supported. We're very lucky. And being in those games where it's like, you know, 20, 30, 40, the Champions Cup final is 80,000 people and the stadium's like literally the halfway line is red or blue or, you know, red or white or whatever. It's really, really special. So the Munster quarterfinal, I probably have to put that in as well, just for you.
Ah, brilliant.
Right, Darren, thanks for being such a good sport. Now, let's get on to the good stuff. Let's get on to the URC. Starting off with Connacht, 34-7 bonus point win over the Blues, over the Bulls at the Sports Ground, bouncing back well after a defeat to the Cardiff Blues previous week. Did you get a chance to see that, Darren?
I did, and I most definitely have a new favourite second team because Connacht were absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah.
How good to see five tries from outside backs.
Oh, it's good hands. Cardi, shirt and try here. It must be.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, like, I don't know if we love a scrum or a maul on this show, but it's good to see the back scoring tries.
Yeah.
A couple in the centre as well. So.
Tom Daly had a great match.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tom Farrell as well.
He scored twice, did he?
He Daly got two, and Farrell scored an absolute worldie off a scrum.
Yeah.
I love the way they play. Like, you know, there was a bit of you know, huff and puff up front, but. Just some lovely rug. I mean, Mac Hansen, that if you haven't seen that try, look it up.
Yeah, yeah, if you're watching. If people are, he's unaware of, is he's actually born in Australia, came over here. I think he might have been played with a bit of the Brumbies or whatnot. But he's Irish qualified. He's only 22, I think. But you get like absolute superstar in the making, I think, and someone who could potentially earn Irish honours.
And Ireland are short of wingers. They only have about 15 of them. So I'm sure they'll just slip right into the starting 15. But no, I'm a Westie now. I loved it. It was class.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say, like, I remember watching like the first 30 minutes, they tried to kind of match him up front. And as we all know, like, there's no point in trying to match a South African team up front, whether it's the box or a club side. But as soon as they got the ball into the backfield, started spreading it wide, started moving the ball, they were absolutely running rings around.
The Bulls like completely dominated the first 2 minutes because they went 7-0 up, and then that's when they went wrong. Yeah. But no, it's nice to see some good ruggers. That Farrell try off first phase, and you know, they've been playing like ever since Pat Lamb was there. Connacht just said, right, we're going to start throwing the ball around, and
why not?
It is good, and since Andy Friend's come in, they've just kept doing it.
Yeah.
And fair play to them. It's it's class to watch, and they're my new favourite second team.
No, they have. Connacht has started really well. But also Munster taking a bonus point win, 34-18. They had a shaky start at the beginning. But what do you think coming into it? You know, they were down 15-0 and then they came back.
You know, like we talk about cliches, right?
Yeah.
Winning ugly, right? Just if you're not sure what winning ugly means, like, watch that game.
Yeah.
Because
that's a great point.
RJ Snyman, I don't even know how you describe that massacre of a try. What was that?
End of the first half, Snyman just one hand, big man mountain.
Was that that was
the tennis ball action?
That wasn't
thing,
the ball or pick and go. I don't know.
Michael Jordan slam over the top. It's good to see him back, though. I mean, I think Munster are going to be good this season. I mean, people don't give him the credit like this. I know they haven't won anything in a very long time, but they've got to plenty of semi-finals and finals, right? But they've got Snyman coming back in this year, right? After being out for a full 12 months. They've got Carberry for a full season. They've got Murray to come back. They've got Byrne to come back into the squad. like, you know, Larkham and Rountree are there now a couple of years. I think Munster, this could be the year. Now, it might just be a matter of them winning
like
the Shield.
You sound like a Liverpool fan there.
Stop now, will you?
Are you a Liverpool fan as well?
No, I'm not a Liverpool fan.
Be our year. It could be our year.
That's what I'm saying.
Listen.
I'm hoping it's our year.
I think Munster look good. Really good. And the sign of a good team. Like, I mean, they were dreadful.
They looked all over the place.
Bonus point win.
Yeah.
When you're playing badly. We know, like, they're quite a rounded team now. Munster, obviously known for the forward play, and they showed it. But, you know, Zeebo coming back as well.
Good squad there now.
So many good players now.
I'm surprised Zeebo wasn't starting the match after last week.
Yeah, it must be just rests and rotations. Because
he didn't get much ball in that match at all.
No.
No.
But how weird is it, Gavin Coombs, right? Am I a part-time sort of Munster viewer, or is he like a carbon copy of CJ Stander? See, when he gets the ball like 2 metres from the line, you know, and Munster are very good at that, and they're 2 metres from the line, and everyone gets real close and they hell up, and then all it just and the ref.
Like, he's scoring tries literally for fun.
Time, and it used to be Stander, and that's he gets up with the ball.
Well, like, think about it, if you're a young lad coming through, he's only young. He's obviously came up to training. Okay, who's the best number 8 in the province? Stander. So he's obviously been watching him.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure a lot of players do that when they're coming up. Okay, I want to be the next 13 for Ulster or whatever. Who's the 13 at the moment? He's class.
Anyone but me, or like, was how I was.
19 carries, 51 metres game, 12 tackles. He's like, if you're looking at the number 8 position this year, would you look at, I mean, you've obviously got Coombs there. You've got Conan, who just started 3 tests for the Lions. And then you've got Doris to come in as well. I mean, a lot of competition there.
It's mad. And the biggest sort of issue is that, like, Leinster can't even figure out who their best back rowers are. Do you know what I mean? You could end up with, like, Jack Conan could end up not being in a Champions Cup 23 for Leinster, and you wouldn't really be that surprised. But it seems ridiculous because apparently he's the best number 8 in the British and Irish Isles. So
there's Leinster for you.
It's absolute madness. But I like Gavin Coombs. He's class. And I think Munster are going to be good.
They're going to win something, is what he's saying.
It was a good end to the match as well. You know, 44 metres out, and he got it.
Last action of the game is from the boot to Ben Healy, and that one is going on and on and over.
Ben Healy, another one. He's got some boot.
He was just like, I want to kick it.
I like Carberry as well. I don't think we've
Carberry's kicking since he came back, though. Like, he nearly broke a record. I think it was something like 49 kicks out of 50 or whatever it was, but then he got the injury since he's came back. With Ireland and with Munster, he's missing a lot of kicks. I don't know
if it's flagging him off.
I'm just saying he's not himself. He's not himself.
I like Carberry as well.
Yeah.
I like him as well. But I think
sure he's a lovely fella and doesn't deserve this bad journey he's getting from this Munster fan over here. But we'll move on.
Right, I wasn't slagging Carberry. Right, Ulster. Right, your former team. You were actually on co-coms for this game, for the Zebra game. 36-3 win, bonus point win. Not the most exhilarating of affairs.
Do you know, I didn't know, genuinely, just being honest on commentary, I just didn't know how to, like, pitch it, because I thought, like, that is a really good result, okay? 36-3, you've gone over, you've smashed them, you got a bonus point.
Job done.
You won by 33 points. Like, that is absolutely job done. In terms of the result, like, you can't really, this is as good as you can do. The performance was the complete opposite, you know? So it's hard to assess, because, what do you say? As a player, if that had been me and, like, pundits and people were having a go, I'd be going, what are you on about? We've just gone to Zebra and won 36-3. Like, we just saw, you know...
You feel a little bit sorry for them, don't you, a little bit now?
Yeah, so I am reluctant to, like, give them a hard time, but they were crap.
There were some younger players.
They were dreadful.
They had some younger players playing as well, though. Like I said, they went over, they got the job done, but, like, yeah, just, like...
I think
let's look at it from an entertainment point of view. It wasn't great to watch.
Yeah, I think you mentioned in the commentary, and actually I thought it was quite funny. You were like, number 12, he has some set of hair. You were saying he's got more hair than you and the other commentator put together.
I love that my Premier Sports co-commentator, I'm the co-commentator, the lead commentator,
that's
Mark
it.
Robson.
Oh,
and I love Robbo, but I don't mind saying, sometimes he leads you down the garden path with a certain, like, conversation, if you've ever listened to him. Because at one stage he was talking about a tennis match between Billy Burns.
You were kind of going with the flow a little bit, like.
Yeah, well, how it kind of works is a lead commentator kind of steers it, and they'll bring something up and say something and pause, and the pause is inviting you in. So he'll say, you know, when Craig Gilroy beat Billy Burns in a tennis match, and pause as if, and it, like, comes to me, and I'm like,
What? What do you say to that?
It's a serious skill, lead commentary, and he's very, very good, so I'm not giving him a hard time.
But, looking at the other couple of games, Scarlets defeated Lions anyway, guys. Ospreys defeated Cardiff. And Benetton, Edinburgh, that was a cool game. 84-minute drop goal for Benetton to defeat Edinburgh. Mm-hmm. That was pretty cool.
And good to see them, the Rainbow Cup champions.
Mm-hmm.
Good to see them getting
good
wins.
Side.
Yeah, they are. Better. They kind of... I remember 3 or 4 years ago they got into the quarterfinals of the league, and then they've had a bad year. And 84th minute drop goal. I mean, that's good TV. That's what we want. People want exciting leagues. South African teams in 84th minute drop goals. What more do you want?
Yeah. That's what we want. Royce, let's move on to a nice little section here. I don't like to use this word, but our losers of the weekend. But they're not really losers of the weekend, but. You know, decisions.
The ones that didn't perform as well.
No, it's not even losing, just kind of moments that we're looking at over the weekend that we kind of feel, okay, this isn't good, right? Niall Scanlon getting bit, the Munster hooker, well, allegedly getting bit, and Munster have said they're going to go down the channels and they're going to look at this. It doesn't look good in the footage. You can't see much, but you can hear Peter Armani talking about, okay, he's got a big, massive bite mark on his leg.
Yeah.
Has this ever happened to you in a match, like something like this? Have you ever been
bitten
or gouged?
I managed to survive my whole career without being bitten. It's something that you just don't... Yeah, it's just an incident that you just don't want to see happen. Obviously, like, I wasn't there, so I don't know. Like, bite marks don't come from... No smoke without fire, is that what they say?
Yeah.
I'm not sure where the bite marks, where they came from, if he wasn't bitten.
Yeah.
That's all I will comment on.
Well, the referees had a look at it. They said, you know, quoted... They couldn't see any evidence of it, but they'll go through the right channels and take it from there.
That's a great leaf from the referee, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's no evidence, and we'll look into it.
Fairness, there's nothing there, it'll come down to, I suppose, a hearing, and you'll use evidence of the bite mark and all that. But okay, I want to get on to just moving on from that. This is something I don't know if you've seen this, right? I don't know if you've seen this either, but Jake White's pre-match comments. About Connacht.
The Connacht opposition tonight, what do you know about them and where do you see their strengths?
A lot of Leinster players who come down from Leinster. Obviously, the guys who didn't get contracts up there come down. Yeah, it's very similar to a couple of franchises we have in South Africa. When they don't get contracted by the big unions, they go down to the small provinces and then obviously try and find a way in which they can get noticed by the bigger provinces. So, yeah, I mean, it's, we used to playing that sort of opposition.
That's
34 points later, that's looking like seriously good.
I mean...
Actually, do you know earlier when I said that people should be encouraged to speak their mind and not give the party line? I think that's... He must have been listening to me and he's just taken a little bit too literally.
What did I call him earlier on? When we were sitting down
He's like the granddad.
Do you know when you're at a party or you're at a something and that granddad in the corner and he says something, it's like, granddad, you can't say that.
That's what it was.
And then he says it anyway. That's Jake White.
I'm just happy he hasn't realised that Ulster have about 15 players from. I think the Ulster Academy is now called St Michael's College. I wonder what he's going to say when they're playing Munster, when they're playing Ulster.
Yeah, he must think he's playing the Springboks, I suppose. They say he'll make some joke about stealing all the Springbok players and the fact that Munster has plenty of Leinster players as well. But look, I mean, I think it's fair to say we go back years ago, Connacht were a bit of a feeder team. Back in the day, and I'm sorry, Connacht fans, I don't mean to say that, but to say that now, Connacht are as good as any other province. And if you don't, it's because you can't make, you don't not make it at Leinster and then go to Connacht. Like, that's absolute nonsense.
Yeah, that's not good to say.
It feels like a long time ago, but I do remember when there was chat that Connacht were going to get defunded, but I'm an old man now. It was a long, long time ago. And let's be honest, guys, Connacht have won more trophies in the past 10 years than Munster and Ulster combined.
Yep. So that's a nice one to say. Royce, Megan. You want to introduce our next section?
Now we're going to take a look at the nominations for Try of the Week.
First up is this brilliant team effort by the Scarlets scored by Tom Rogers. Look at this, guys. You've all seen this. This is really, really nice try here.
I love the way John Davies is like, it just slows up there. He's come and smash me. And put the winger in.
That's lovely. That's an excellent try.
Cole Forbes got a really nice one for Glasgow against the Sharks.
Oh, this is the offload try. So many offloads.
You drew a lot of players in here.
I saw this. Is it Johnson that runs this line, this next one here?
Like, Johnson, yeah.
Talk about like staying square and letting the ball rip.
Lovely.
Beautiful.
Nice.
And finally then this absolute worldie by Mack Hansen for Connacht. This try, lads. I know people are giving out that there might have been a bit of obstruction. There's no obstruction in this try. It's just sit back, relax and enjoy. Incredible.
I had seen it earlier and I've just seen it again and I think there is obstruction.
We'll agree to disagree. That's some try.
That was unbelievable.
Get him
up.
Get him an Irish cap. Get him an Irish cap. Right. So, what do you think? Who wins?
Was there blocking? Was there obstruction? That
the
is
try stands. So
Mack Hansen, that is an absolute screamer.
Yeah,
that has got to be it. Even like the take and like it's unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah. Do you agree?
I'd say so. That was the best one. Yeah, just the way he came in and out. Like it was a great bit of rugby to watch because it's not often. Yeah, that the winger gets to swerve in and out, and
not anyone can catch a high ball in Galway. Like never mind the 60-meter run afterwards.
Yeah, yeah, a good bit of individual brilliance there.
Right up next, my favourite award, the jukebox of the week. So, guys, we've got three nominations again. Up first is Tomás Ogbonnie, who went low on Stuart Moore with a textbook tackle. You were watching this game. Oh, look at that. That's
just huge.
The penalty for holding on.
Yeah.
I like that. That was good. That was a good hit.
Up next is Snyman, who made a big hit coming on against the Stormers.
I love this. Little box kick up from Casey. And all of a sudden, you've got 6'10" of South African. Oosh! Up on top of you.
Imagine being underneath that.
I'd say that hurt a lot.
No
bruise in the morning. It's going to be bruised in the morning. Right, up next is Fijian winger. This I can't remember, but you were at the name Tutuvaki? Tuivaki?
Tuivaki.
The big Fijian. Look at this. And yeah, another one. How's it going? And there we go. That's my favourite anyway. I'm voting for that. Even though I can't pronounce his name.
Yeah, that was serious, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That's proper. Just leave him. Let him go. Like,
so you're going with Tui. Yeah. What's it? Tui Tuaki?
Tuivuaki.
Tuivuaki. There we go. Who are you going with?
I was going to say the Simon's pretty good. Like he had such a great game. But he looks like he's winning everything. But yeah.
Right. Let's move on, guys. Other stand-up moments of the week. I absolutely love this one. You were at this game. Mark Robson, your co-commentator. And the opening minutes of the game, got a little bit excited, thought that Ulster had scored a try. So,
we can almost stretch Canna. What a tackle by Canna! But the pressure pays off in the end, and Zebra cannot resist the force of that Ulster drive, and they get over for the. It's a penalty to Zebra.
Yeah.
Darren, what do you say to that?
Oh.
It's so funny because I didn't see it. I saw it the way it was as a penalty. But I could hear in Rob's voice. And you know, not typically how somebody would say it, that's a penalty. And then as I said on the commentary after, he actually convinced me. I was like,
I was fully convinced it was a try for a second as well. Because like, what's going on? Yeah. Like, you were saying the same. I was like, that looks his arms pointing the other way. Yeah, there we go. Right, another one from the same game. Back to your lovely commentary again. Craig Gilroy's sweet offload for James Hume's try. What's interesting about that is, what did you mention during the game?
Well, it was some nice play from James Hume, wasn't it? And the Robbo was talking about how good he was, and I felt like he was rubbing salt in the wound as to why I no longer play professional rugby. So, you know, say what you see. And that's what I saw, so I said that.
Yeah, he's a good player, in fairness, isn't he? I mean, what do you think of him? Has he got the potential to go places like international-wise, honours-wise?
Yeah, I think, Ireland are of good depth everywhere, but I think he's a real good player. I like a lot about him. He's got like the likes of Jared Payne up there and Stuart McCluskey, so he's got a lot of stuff to learn. So, I think he definitely has potential to kick on and be a good international player.
Yep, definitely.
We have Reese. I hope I'm saying it right. Priestland, he, you can see in the clip here, made a lovely kick, but then the winger followed it up Josh Adams, as you missed it. So it just shows that the winger should always follow the kicks. It's a great little try on the bounce.
I'm sure you would have chased that in your day, Darren, would you?
I can't imagine how annoyed the Ospreys coaches are going to be. You know, they're going to be doing training
on Monday. He looks really surprised himself as well, getting that.
In training on Monday, they're going to be doing formations from, like, do you know what I mean, for post-returns. So, yeah, that must be frustrating as a coach.
Yeah, definitely. I want to go back to Munster again, like RG Snyman's try over the weekend. Like, I mean, like, if you see this, it's absolutely ridiculous. It looks like he's holding a tennis ball in his hand. He comes over with this Michael Jordan dunk. Look at this. This is absolutely
brilliant.
And like we referred to it earlier when we were talking about like Munster scoring from malls, Munster scoring from pick and goes, and I was like, what, like, what's that?
Yeah, what is that?
Is that a mall or a pick and go? That's just a machine.
But it's good to see him back. Like, I'm like, I remember seeing clips of him before he came into Munster, and he was playing over in the top league in Japan, and he was doing all this stuff like, oh, he won't do that when he gets over here. And clearly he can still do that because he's just an absolute freak.
I think someone was tweeting, it looked like a little peanut in his hand. His quality
is, it's crazy. What a fact.
Boom. Right, Darren, thanks a million for joining us.
When you have two daughters under two, it's just nice to get out of the house.
We'll be back again. Thanks, Darren. Appreciate it. Cheers.
We're going to have a look at the fan zone now, seeing what you guys are saying over on social media and the latest tweets coming in from Jason.
Yeah, I was looking at the Leicester Tigers and Saracens game. Obviously, I was watching the URC, but keeping a close eye on Twitter. 84th minute penalty try for Leicester to beat Saracens.
And you love to see Saracens lose.
Of course you do. And I think it was a young enough ref. And, you know, I mean, it's a ballsy move to hand in a penalty or to award a penalty try that late in the game, like to give them the win. But yeah, good to see. Obviously, I know you're obviously sick and tired of listening to me talk about the Springboks and New Zealand game. But if you get a chance, if you look at Rugby Joe's Twitter, it's on House of Rugby's Twitter.
I've seen this clip actually.
Lucano Zan, ridiculous. Mm. Kind of off, I wouldn't call it off, it was around the back pass.
Oh,
absolutely
brilliant.
Incredible. For the build up to Dale Enda's try in the corner. But yeah, that's not much this week.
I know, just a few there, but we'll have plenty of action for next week. So tune in and don't forget to use the hashtag HouseOfRugbyURC to give us all your feedback on your tweets and your favourite moments.
Right. Just have one more late tweet. We're just getting the final result in here. Obviously, we're filming this on a Sunday. 7-6 is all Leinster have managed to beat the Dragons by, and I'm not trying to insult the Dragons, but I don't think that's the result we expected.
Yeah, very close.
Something we're going to have
surprised.
To have a chat about next week. I think we all expected a handy bonus point there for Leinster, but James Ryan was captain today, obviously captain Ireland over the summer as well. I think you've a bit of a James Ryan story for us.
Yeah, it's great to see James captaining, because I remember when he was in the under-20s, I used to be the family's personal trainer. And his dad used to say all the time that he was going to be the next Paul O'Connell. So
fair offer, like he's heading in the right direction, certainly. But look, guys, I mean, that's all we've got time for this week. I mean, I don't know what you, Megan, but I had a great time, and I think Darren did too, hopefully.
Yeah, it was brilliant. Thanks again to our partners, Bank of Ireland, proud sponsors of the four Irish provinces. And tune in next week where we see round 3 of the United Rugby Championship.
We'll also have a new presenter joining our team next week, who I think you'll absolutely love. Thanks again, guys.
Thank you.
Joe presents House of Rugby, United Rugby Championship, together with Bank of Ireland, proud supporter of the four Irish provinces.